Welcome back, everyone, to another electrifying episode of AI Unchained, your go-to source for all things AI, Web 3.0, and the hottest trends in tech. I'm Jack, flying high on the latest updates, and with me is the always insightful, never dull Core. How's it going, Core?
Hey, Jack. Feeling great and ready to dive into some mind-bending discussions. I think we've got a lot to unpack today, from the latest breakthrough in AI research to some eyebrow-raising events in the business world.
Absolutely. And we can't forget the political upheavals impacting the tech scene. But before we get into all that, let's give a big shout out to our listeners. You guys are amazing. It's your support that keeps us going. So thank you for joining us once again.
That's right, Jack. And for those of you tuning in for the first time, welcome aboard. We're here to dissect the news, debate the controversies, and maybe even crack a few jokes along the way. So strap in, folks. It's going to be a wild ride.
Okay, let's get the ball rolling. First up, we're talking about OpenAI's recent announcement. They've just revealed a new model that reportedly can generate human-like conversations with even more accuracy and nuance. What do you think, Core? Game changer or just more hype?
Jack, I think this could genuinely be a game changer if it lives up to the promises. But let's not forget, we've learned to be a little skeptical of these grand claims. We've seen impressive demos, but also plenty of underwhelming real-world applications. What's your take?
I'm cautiously optimistic. The demos look cool, but like you said, the proof will be in the pudding when it actually hits the market. We've seen too many companies overpromise and underdeliver. Remember that one AI startup that claimed they could predict the stock market?
Oh, don't remind me. They crashed harder than my first attempt at learning to code. But seriously, I hope OpenAI has something solid here. If they do, it could revolutionize customer service, healthcare, education, you name it.
Exactly. And from AI models to market models, let's talk about the recent IPO craze. Several tech companies have gone public in the past few weeks. What's the deal with that, Core? Are we looking at sound investment opportunities or a bubble about to burst?
Good question. You know, there's a lot of excitement whenever a new batch of tech companies goes public, but I'm seeing a mix of both solid fundamentals and speculative frenzy. It's a bit like navigating a minefield with the potential for both riches and wreckage.
Huh? Well put. And speaking of navigating tricky terrains, let's shift gears to Washington, D.C. for a moment. We've got some new regulatory moves aimed at big tech. Core, do you think these are steps in the right direction, or are we in for more unintended consequences?
That's a tough one, Jack. On the one hand, some regulation is definitely necessary to keep these giants in check. On the other hand, overregulation can stifle innovation. It's a delicate balance, and honestly, I'm not sure they've quite nailed it yet.
Agreed. It's a classic case of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But that's why we're here, to break it all down for you. All right, folks, stay with us. We're jumping into the nitty-gritty of these topics and much more right after this quick break.
Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
You heard the man. We'll be right back. So, Core, what do you think about Saquon Barclay's strategy of going all in with Bitcoin for his endorsement income and then the crash that followed?
Honestly, Jack, it's a mixed bag. On one hand, Barclay's initial move seemed groundbreaking. I mean, he converted 100% of his endorsement income, we're talking big brands like Nike and Pepsi, into Bitcoin using Strike. It was a bold statement about taking control of his financial future. But the volatility, man, that's something else.
Totally. The crash at the end of 2022 was a real wake-up call. When you see Bitcoin plunge below $16,000 from those highs, it's more than just a paper loss. It's a panic moment for anyone who's heavily invested, especially athletes who might not have the financial literacy to handle such swings.
For sure. And speaking of swings, let's not forget that what seems like a genius move at $32,000 per BTC can quickly become a nightmare at $16,000. The whole situation with FTX collapsing and the ensuing market chaos was just brutal. I wonder how much Barclay leaned on his advisors during that period to stay sane. Like, imagine your paycheck suddenly being worth half overnight.
And not just his paycheck, all his endorsement deals, too. Super Agent Lee Steinberg's warning about sticking with good old American dollars might sound like old school advice, but there's wisdom in it. You can't ignore the stability of the dollar, even if Bitcoin enthusiasts rave about decentralized currencies.
You're right. But you also have to consider the broader trend. Barkley wasn't the only athlete jumping on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Russell Okung took part of his NFL salary in Bitcoin too. There's this whole movement of athletes trying to secure their future beyond regular short sports careers. I get why they're exploring alternatives.
And alternatives like Tempo, right? That new blockchain company being backed by Stripe aimed at reducing crypto's notorious volatility by using stablecoins. If that can actually handle high-volume transactions smoothly, it might draw in people who are terrified of Bitcoin-level volatility.
Exactly. We're seeing innovation down to its core. Stablecoins pegged to assets like the US dollar are less volatile, making them attractive. Tempo has some really strong design partners lined up. Cracking the volatility issue could be a game-changer for mainstream crypto adoption. It's like building a bridge between crypto enthusiasts and skeptics.
And let's be honest, the involvement of firms like Visa, OpenAI, and Shopify and Tempo adds a lot of credibility. If those companies trust in the stability and efficiency of this new blockchain, it could prompt a broader acceptance. Stability is key to getting more traditional investors on board.
Speaking of building bridges, let's touch on something else. The stablecoins pegged to the US dollar might actually be one of the reasons why this whole concept might succeed. As of now, people are still concerned about volatility, and rightly so. But with stablecoins, that concern is minimized. I mean, who wouldn't love predictable transactions?
Totally. So, Core, where do you see all this headed? Do you think athletes and other public figures will continue to dive into crypto? Or will they get scared off by the crashes like the one we saw with Bitcoin?
Good question. I think it's a mix. The innovators and risk takers will continue to explore crypto, especially if they see potential for high returns or want to diversify. But the conservative folks will stay cautious, sticking to more traditional investments. Plus, if projects like Tempo succeed, who knows? It might just make crypto way more attractive to everyone.
Couldn't agree more. I guess we'll have to wait and watch how these new initiatives pan out. It's always fascinating to see how technology and finance evolve together, and who decides to ride the wave or sit on the shore.
Absolutely, Jack. The future is uncertain, but that's what makes the whole crypto space so exciting. One thing's for sure, though, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
So, CORR, isn't it fascinating how our ears can dissect so many complex sounds when we're just listening to a piece of music?
Absolutely, Jack. It's almost like our own built-in DSP, digital signal processor. You've got the flute, violin, and double bass, all those different frequencies somehow getting unscrambled by our ear hairs. It just blows my mind.
Right? And those hair cells in the cochlea each resonate to specific pitches. It's like having an equalizer in your head. I read somewhere that this process is actually due to mechanical resonance in those hair cells. They vibrate at different frequencies depending on their length and stiffness.
That's quite the biological marvel. It's no wonder researchers are trying to mimic this kind of natural computation in tech. Speaking of which, did you hear about the team at UC Santa Cruz? They've got this heart rate monitoring system using Wi-Fi signals based on similar principles of detection and differentiation.
Yes, PulseFi, right? Basically, they use Wi-Fi to detect the smallest variations in signal caused by a heartbeat. And the machine learning algorithm they've developed can distinguish between those faint detections and environmental noise.
Exactly. The algorithm filtering out noise just to detect the heartbeat reminds me of how our ears filter out background noises so we can hear what we need to. I wonder where this tech will go next. Maybe detecting early signs of other health conditions without invasive sensors?
That's the dream, isn't it? Simple, non-intrusive, but incredibly accurate health monitoring. Imagine pairing that with wearable tech, much like our good old smartwatches or fitness trackers. It could make a world of difference in preventive healthcare.
And think about the impact on industries beyond health. The fact that the distance between transmitter and receiver had no substantial effect on the performance is a game changer. Imagine using similar tech to monitor structural health in buildings, finding faults before they become disasters.
Totally. It's incredible how all these advances in AI, machine learning, and basic signal processing are converging. We've been talking about AI taking roles in logistics with companies like Augment. Using AI assistants like Augie for freight management is just phenomenal.
Yeah, Augie can handle all that repetitive work, freeing up human workers for more complex tasks. Clever applications like these are going to change the way industries operate. but let's circle back to our starting point, the human ear. It's intriguing how much inspiration tech takes from biology.
That's a good point. Core Nature has had millions of years to refine its design, so it's no surprise we're mimicking these processes. Oh, and speaking of nature-inspired tech, have you seen how Google's VO3 is generating high-quality videos from photos? It's kind of our visual cortex's perfect representation.
I have. They're using AI to turn a photo into a short video, capturing slight movements and just enough details to make it look lifelike. It's an impressive application of AI, seamlessly blending tech with our innate ways of perception.
Right. Seamlessly blending. That's where the magic happens. We know AI is making waves in creative fields already. Companies like Captions, now rebranded as Mirage, are leveraging AI for video creation. Imagine producing entire advertising campaigns without human actors.
If you think about it, it's a bit eerie, but incredibly efficient. However, it raises ethical concerns about deepfakes and the future of creative jobs. But wasn't there talk of regulations to keep AI-generated content in check?
There is, and it's crucial. It's about finding a balance, using AI to enhance human capabilities, not replace them. I keep thinking back to our ears, separating the noise from the signal. We need to achieve the same clarity with AI, amplifying the useful, filtering the rest.
Well said, Jack. Whether we are discussing how our ears work or the latest advances in AI and machine learning, it's all about creating something that works seamlessly and efficiently, just like nature designed.
And that's a challenge worth tackling. Guess we'll see where the next breakthrough comes from, be it in health tech, logistics, or creative industries. Exciting times ahead for sure.
Definitely. Well, let's hop on to the next topic. There's no lack of them in this rapidly evolving tech landscape.
I've got to say, the concept of applying the Fourier transform to images is just incredible. You can take a simple grayscale image, think of it as a matrix of brightness values, and break it down into a bunch of 2D sine and cosine waves. It's kind of like deconstructing a symphony into individual notes.
Exactly. And not only that, but you can manipulate those components to alter the image in fascinating ways. Imagine adjusting the frequencies to filter out noise or to enhance certain features. It's like looking at a painting with X-ray glasses, seeing the structure beneath the surface.
Right. And since we're talking about images, it reminds me of the crazy potential this has in fields like medical imaging. Doctors can look at scans and get enhanced details that might be hidden in the raw data.
And there's this artistic angle to it, too. By tinkering with these frequency components, artists can create visually stunning effects or restore old, damaged photos. You're not just limited to enhancing or analyzing. You can create something entirely new.
Speaking of new, it throws me back to when digital music started getting popularity. Not exactly related, but scrabbling from services like Last.fm still keeps track of all my old listening habits. It's like a throwback playlist I didn't even create.
Oh man, scrabbling. Used to love bragging about my eclectic taste based on my Scrabble stats, but it's kind of similar. Organizing and analyzing data, whether it's audio frequencies or pixel data, to get more insight out of it.
Exactly. Both are about turning raw data into something more organized and meaningful. And speaking of organizing, you have this whole thing about unrolling loops and vectorizing code to make things run faster. That's something I've seen big gains from in my projects.
You bet. It's like the modern day parallel of squeezing every drop of performance from your hardware. By helping the compiler understand your intentions, you can pre-process data more efficiently, even when dealing with monsters like Fourier transforms.
Which brings up an important point. With big data, be it in image processing or other fields, increasingly we need to use every trick to optimize performance. Nailing down data alignment, unrolling loops to use those slick vector units, coupling it all with proper memory management, it makes a night and day difference.
Efficiency is key, especially in a world where data is everything. We're not just processing tiny snippets anymore. We're dealing with terabytes, often in real time. Tools like AVX2 extensions are crucial for scaling our algorithms. It's like having a superhighway instead of a county road.
And it's not just theoretical. Real examples like visual effects in movies or AI-driven image recognition and security systems use these principles every day. Fourier transforms, loop unrolls, and vectorized processing all come together to create the magic we see on screen or experience through services.
Absolutely. But let's not forget the ripple effects on simpler tasks too. As we refine these complex processes, the underlying technologies pour back into everyday apps. Photo filters on Instagram, real-time video calls, touch-up tools in your favorite editor. It's all interconnected.
It's almost poetic in a way, this constant loop of innovation and refinement. Speaking of which, the latest developments like Leidos Simplified Vaults or the explosion of tokenized collectibles, we're seeing optimization in financial tech just like we do in image processing.
Exactly. It's about making complex systems more accessible. Simplified interfaces for DeFi, tokenizing physical assets like basketball cards, these are all about bringing high-tech principles down to earth so people can engage with them without needing a PhD in computer science.
Perfect analogy. Whether through groundbreaking medical imaging techniques or giving fans a way to invest in sports, it's all about leveraging tech to add value to everyday life. So, Core, you were explaining how a Fourier series is used to approximate sharp edges and digital signals like those square waves, right?
Exactly, Jack. The Fourier series is truly fascinating. It breaks down these seemingly complicated signals into simpler sine and cosine functions. Even though the process creates an infinite set of frequencies, it's a major tool in modern electronics and signal processing.
It's pretty wild. Imagine telling the early mathematicians that an infinite series can actually converge into something meaningful. They'd probably think you're bonkers.
Right? They did. They were initially hesitant, but now it's become a backbone of digital signal processing. It's the mathematical magic that lets us take something as abrupt as a square wave and understand it using smoother, continuous waves.
Speaking of digital, what about the whole shift in how we buy music nowadays? Square waves to streaming, it's quite the leap.
Really. The digital purchases through platforms like Bandcamp, iTunes, and Amazon offer high-quality music, sometimes even in lossless formats like FLAC. But is that really better than the convenience of Spotify?
That's a tough one. On one hand, streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music are super convenient and have vast libraries for a monthly fee. On the other hand, buying music on Bandcamp feels more supportive to artists. Plus, you own the music forever.
Totally. I've been debating that myself. There's this battle between ownership and subscription. It's like renting a house versus buying one. Long term, which benefits more?
And let's not forget about privacy. With subscription services, our data preferences are constantly tracked. I know some folks are concerned about that data being out there.
I hear you, Jack. The data collection and tracking by these platforms can be intrusive. With direct purchases, you have privacy and control over your collection, but you miss out on the convenience of instantly accessing your music anywhere, anytime.
True. Although, if you're tech savvy, setting up your own self-hosted music stack could be the ultimate solution. You get the best of both worlds, privacy and access.
Yeah, that's where things like a DIY media server come into play. It might have a high upfront cost, but after that, it's basically free, and you have full control over your music library.
Exactly. It's an initial tech challenge, but one that pays off long term. Speaking of tech challenges, have you seen those wild storage setups with RAID configurations? I was reading about someone who made a RAID 0 volume with a 4 kilobyte stripe size.
Oh, yeah. That's intense. They did all that to squeeze out extra performance, proving a point about I/O constraints versus compute power. But it showcases the creativity in optimizing tech performance.
Right. It's all about understanding the hardware's strengths and weaknesses. Do you build your own setups?
I dabble. It's fascinating balancing cost against performance. And sometimes, optimizing those setups feels like wrestling with one of those infinite frequency issues in Fourier series. Complex, but rewarding.
Ah, exactly. It's that never-ending quest for perfection, whether in music with Fourier or in tech performance.
And speaking of creative solutions, have you seen how some climate tech companies are overcoming funding gaps with innovative structures? They're navigating that tricky valley between early stage funding and scalable growth.
Yeah, bridging that funding gap is huge. It's like getting just the right mix of frequencies to create a stable, sustainable wave, if you will.
Perfect analogy, Jack. It's about harmonizing finance and innovation, making sure they hit the right notes for a sustainable future.
And hopefully without hitting too many dissonant notes, kind of like Barclays' investment journey. He's taken some calculated risks and has been quite vocal about financial literacy.
Absolutely. It's that same principle whether you're balancing your own portfolio or a signal with a Fourier series. Finding that balance is key.
Right on. Man, this conversation hits everything from math to music, tech to finance. It's all interconnected in really cool ways.
It sure is. And speaking of interconnected, how about how they're using advanced algorithms for merchant and payment data analysis? Integrating systems like Stripe with Salesforce and ticketing systems like Zendesk, it all comes back to the data.
Yeah, it's like creating a comprehensive view from multiple lenses, ensuring all business aspects harmonize perfectly. We've come full circle, from Fourier series to digital payments and tech optimization.
Exactly. Each part adds a layer, much like summing infinite frequencies to approximate those sharp edges. You get a comprehensive, optimized system.
And it's in these discussions, breaking down complex topics, that we find real clarity and connection. Always a blast, Core.
Indeed, Jack. Keeps our Fourier vibes in tune.
All right, folks, that about wraps up today's episode of AI Unchained. We've covered a lot of ground, from the latest advancements in AI to the intersection of technology with politics and business.
Yeah, Jack, and I think we might have ruffled a few feathers along the way, but hey, what's a good podcast without a bit of heated debate and some laughs?
Exactly. We dove into how AI is transforming industries, the ethical implications surrounding it, and of course, we didn't shy away from the big political impacts. It's an exciting time to be in this space, and there's so much more to come.
And let's not forget, we had that hilarious moment when my microphone cut out just as I was about to make the winning argument. Technology, am I right?
Oh, that was classic. But in all seriousness, it's these kinds of dynamic conversations that really bring the subject to life. We hope you, our listeners, enjoyed every minute of it just as much as we did.
Absolutely. We really appreciate you tuning in. Your support means everything, and we're thrilled to have such an engaged audience.
Agreed. Thanks to all of you for joining us today on AI Unchained. Don't forget to follow us on social media and feel free to send us your thoughts and questions. We're always eager to hear from you.
And hey, let's keep the conversation going. If there's a topic you want us to tackle, let us know. We're here to bring you the most compelling and thought-provoking discussions in the world of technology and beyond.
So, until next time, stay curious and keep questioning. This is Jack.
And Core, signing off. See you next time.